Hosanna, Hosanna to the King. Hosanna, Hosanna, and through the crowded streets, thousands came to see him, to cheer as he rode by. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna was their cry.
Of our Lenten series, Journey of Faith, and today we're ready to take another step. This is our last step, and this step is the most important step of all. All of these steps on our journey of faith started with a recognition of sin, started with a need to trust in God's authority and God's offer of salvation. The next step was in accepting not only God's provision for salvation, but also being willing to walk with God as He helps us move more intentionally into His plan and purpose as fully devoted followers of Jesus. The next step of faith was to decide if we are going to trust and obey God, or complain about God by acting and talking as though God was not present with us. Then we examined who it is that we look up to make our day-to-day decisions. And last week, we considered how it is that we wait through the dry times of our life and our faith. All of these steps that we've taken bring us to this final step in our faith journey. And that's the time of decision. It's time for each one of us to decide for ourselves, what will we do with Jesus? What will we do with Jesus? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says this: "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." These weeks of Lent have brought us to this place of being at the threshold of a decision about Jesus. Jesus assures us that a future with Him is a future that results in our souls being saved, our lives becoming more like Jesus, and an eternity in heaven forever secure with God. That assurance, that confidence, comes from Jesus, and that is something that we can count on and live for starting right now. Jesus' offer of salvation provides us with the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, who helps us stand resolute and firm in our conviction that Jesus' words are true and to be trusted to the letter. Jesus is God. What he says, he will do. Today's Palm Sunday. Today's the day that we remember the journey that Jesus took. This journey was a day that Jesus prepared for throughout his life. It was the journey for which he was born. The 3 years of Jesus' ministry on this earth led up to this one journey to Jerusalem. Jesus knew what was going to happen to him. Jesus knew the events that were going to transpire. It was certainly not something he looked forward to. It was also a journey that he tried to prepare his disciples to face. And now, on this day in Jesus' life, on this particular Passover day, everyone who was there was left with a decision about Jesus. As you read through the Bible, there were an awful lot of people in Jerusalem that day to celebrate the Passover feast. They were there to remember God's powerful hand at work when he used Moses to release the people from their slavery in Egypt and lead them to the promised land. That was a historical event, and the people remembered it every year. They remembered from Moses' accounts of how God had miraculously provided for Moses and their ancestors in the wilderness, how God had defended them from their enemies. They remembered the covenant that God would made with them as his chosen people. He would be their only God. They would be his people. They remembered their promise and commitment to worship and obey God. That was on Mount Sinai. They received the Ten Commandments and promised to live faithfully before God. The Jewish people had made the public decision to be God's chosen people. It was a celebration. It was an annual event for all of Israel, and people from all over the known world were there in Jerusalem to celebrate. Jesus and his disciples were there to celebrate. And when Jesus and his disciples and all of his followers trooped into Jerusalem to celebrate this Passover feast, they were caught up in the excitement of the day. Just like many other people, Jesus had spent his life learning and obeying the details of the Jewish religion. Jesus was a devout Jew. He knew and he kept all of God's laws that were written in the Old Testament. For the past 3 years, Jesus had been ministering to the people in the country. He spent time with them. He walked from town to village. He talked with people. He formed relationships that crossed all of the boundaries of culture and of economics and of gender. And along the way, Jesus had earned the respect due a religious leader. Jesus was a popular man. Jesus was very popular because he met people's needs. He fed them and he healed them. And he did it as only God could feed and heal people. Jesus laughed with people and he cried with people and he loved them and he lived with them. Jesus taught them many things about God and a great deal about themselves. Jesus opened their hearts and their minds to God's perspectives and God's attitudes. And Jesus taught them how to live faithfully before God and how to love all people, not just their family and friends. In those 3 years, Jesus had developed quite a following. Jesus had handpicked 12 very different men to learn his teachings. This core group of men would pass on the words of Jesus. Jesus had many other disciples too. People who believed in what Jesus taught. People who lived the way Jesus lived. People who Jesus had helped, and people who were searching to understand what Jesus came to give them. Each and every person who came into contact over those 3 years were left with a decision. What would they do about Jesus? Would they believe what Jesus said about himself and about God? Or would they continue to look for another Messiah? Some people would choose to follow and obey Jesus closely. Other people would keep an eye on Jesus from a distance. They held Jesus off at arm's length. And whatever their motive, all of the people were left with a decision about Jesus. That's where we are today. We're left with a decision about Jesus. Does Jesus know best? Is Jesus your Lord? Or do you refuse to have anyone as Lord over you? We're left with a question of, what do we do about Jesus? Are we going to hold Jesus at arm's length and try to keep him at a distance from our hearts and our lives? Jesus and his followers traveled to Jerusalem for the Passover feast. Everyone was in Jerusalem for the Passover. It was the holy city. It was an annual event. There were, the expectation was that everyone was there. Jesus and his disciples were no exception. They were there. There was a huge, huge throng of people crowding into the city. And in the midst of it all, Jesus was sitting on the back of a donkey. People began waving palm branches and throwing their coats on the road before him, so much that the donkey walked on the coats. They began crying, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." God caused the people to react that way. This took place to fulfill what was written in the prophet Isaiah, prophet Zechariah, chapter 9, verse 9. The prophet Zechariah says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Jesus knew what was happening. He understood why the crowd was so excited. Jesus knew that some people truly loved him and were faithful in their decision to follow him. He knew who they were. They were committed. Jesus also knew that some people had ulterior motives, devious motives. They wanted to silence him. Jesus knew who they were too. They were the ones who were upset that Jesus had upset their precious egos, their selfish pride and their social standing, and their self-centered understanding of the scripture. Jesus knew who they were. Jesus even knew that some people on that day really didn't know or even care who Jesus was. They were simply caught up in the emotion of the day and in the excitement of a parade. Everybody loves a parade. Jesus knew all that. In addition, Jesus knew that the time had come for him to be recognized for who he is, the only Savior of Israel and the only Savior of the world. Jesus knew. Jesus knew that Israel was the first chosen people of God, and it would be through the Jews that salvation would come. A new and right relationship with God, that would come to all the rest of the world. Jesus knew that this particular Passover would take on a whole new significance, a new covenant with God and mankind. And Jesus knew that he personally would be the Passover lamb. He would be the Passover lamb in a way that most people could not understand. Jesus knew that after the Passover lamb was sacrificed, that would happen in people's homes. Also in people's homes would be the ceremony and memory of how God had been at work and delivered their ancestors from slavery. After that all happened, after that lamb was sacrificed and that ceremony was conducted, for many people, life would go on for them as it had before. Nothing would change. But some people would come to understand that Jesus' innocent death on the cross would soon take on the fulfillment of the sacrificial lamb of Passover. They would come to understand that Jesus would be the one to pay the penalty for the sins of the whole world. For some people, a tremendous, life-changing understanding would soon take place in their hearts and show in their lives. God would impart his soul-saving faith to them. Soon it would no longer be the blood of an unblemished lamb that the people gave to the priest to offer on their behalf. From that point on, it would be Jesus' sacrificial death that provided the start of a new and right relationship with God. A relationship in which God would clothe individuals with the righteousness of his only Son, Jesus. The salvation that Jesus brought with him could erase an individual's sins forever and release a person from their spiritual slavery to the power of evil. Jesus' salvation still does that today. Jesus loved the people as he rode past on that donkey. Jesus probably smiled and waved as they threw their coats. Jesus loved the people as he went through the events of that week. Jesus loved the people when they became so fickle in their loyalty, obviously not understanding the eternal significance of these next few days. Jesus loved the people as he walked closer and closer to the cross on which he would die. Jesus loved them while he proclaimed them. Jesus loved the people while they proclaimed him king, and Jesus loved them as they rejected him just a few days later. Jesus loved them. Have you ever had someone reject you after they have declared their love for you? What a terrible feeling that is. To have someone say they love you and then reject you. Oh, what love God must have for each one of us. We've traveled in our journey of faith with God over these past several weeks. Today we're at the point of decision. Jesus is standing at the gate of our hearts and our lives. Jesus loves you. The same as Jesus loved the people then, Jesus loves you. Even when you don't understand, even when you refuse to understand, Jesus loves us in our fickle disloyalties to him. And Jesus does more than love us. Jesus helps us to love him. Jesus helps us to love others by making our words and our actions match. Jesus' life and death and resurrection are the foundation of our life and our action. When we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, he helps us to live our faith with actions that are both loyal to God and helpful to other people. Jesus went to a parade. And in this parade, Jesus received the honor due him. At the end of the age, when Jesus returns, Jesus will again receive the honor due him. This first parade on Palm Sunday, that was a limited group of people. People from all over the world were there, but it was a limited group of people. At the end of the age, when Jesus returns, everybody will see him. Philippians 2, 9 through 11 says it this way. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. When that time comes, it won't be limited to Jerusalem. When Jesus returns, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, whether they believe in Jesus or not. Every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, whether they've ever acknowledged or given credit to Jesus before or not. And it will all, every bit of it, will be to the glory of God. Having said that, that does not mean that everybody gets to go to heaven. It simply means that when Jesus returns, everyone, both the living and the dead, will see Jesus for who he is. Everyone, both the living and the dead, will give Jesus his due worship, and then the judgment will begin. Those who have set their sights and their lives and their hearts on Jesus, those who have received Jesus' precious sacrifice for their salvation, will be welcomed into heaven. Those who have not, those who have rejected Jesus with their hearts and lives and actions and have refused to look at the cross as the only way of salvation, they too will stand before God at the judgment. They too will be called to give an account to Almighty God. For us today, we're at the threshold. What is your decision? What will be your next step on this journey of faith? Your destination could be heaven with Jesus, the only living Son of God. Jesus who will guide you and strengthen you and help you take each next step. And my prayer is that on this day and tomorrow and the next day and every day, each one of us will humble ourselves and trust God and decide to put Jesus first in all that we do and with everyone we're around. Glory to God.